Good morning, and thank you for joining me on the Path to Liberty. It's Monday, December 16th, 2019. I hope you had an awesome weekend, and thank you so much for starting your week or joining me with a little bit of your time today. And on this episode, we're back to talking about facial recognition surveillance. But we're going to focus primarily on two very positive stories. When we've got it, I like to be able to share some good news. It's not something that happens all the time, but we've got some very positive stories. Wins on a local level in both San Diego, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts. Plus a really interesting story, at least I thought it was interesting story, about a test done, well, a series of tests done by some hacker group that actually was able to easily fool a number of facial recognition, identity, and payment systems. So I think there's a lot of implications for that. But before getting to all that, my name is Michael Bolden. We broadcast live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time from here in my home office and studio in downtown Los Angeles for the 10th Amendment Center. We've got tons of channels that we broadcast on, both on the video end of things, where we do our live stream through Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, DLive, and Twitch. But we also have archived video versions at Brighteon.com, BitChute, and BitTubers, plus all the audio-only podcast editions, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and elsewhere. You can find all of those channels, all of our social media channels, all the ways to follow us, all of our archives, the show notes with the links that I reference and mention in each episode. You can find that all over at 10thamendmentcenter.com/path-to-liberty. Again, 10thamendmentcenter.com/path-to-liberty. Now, before getting to all the good stuff here today, I want to say hi to everybody out in the live chat. I appreciate you joining me, whether it's live or in the archives. It all makes a difference. And whether you're leaving comments or hitting the like button or subscribing, all that really helps us spread the word because it triggers the algorithm of the platform that you're on and tells that algorithm to show the program to more and more people. So hello over on YouTube to Frank I, Essential Freedom, Austrian Watchman, Heather Rossi, Yo Mama, Teacher of Liberty, Joe Wolverton, good to see you, buddy. I'm not sure if I just doxed you, but Joe just started a new podcast that I have on my list to check out, too, so you definitely want to view his channel. Bob Brewer, hello, good to see you from down in Tyler, Texas. Over on Facebook, Joe Karen and everyone else, thank you so much for joining me. I apologize if I missed anyone here so far today. So let's get into this. First of all, facial recognition is mass warrantless surveillance. You cannot follow the Constitution of either your state or the federal government by having a mass warrantless surveillance program, whether it's facial recognition or license plate readers or stingray devices or drone surveillance, any of this stuff. It's all bad. But we're going to focus on some positive things. And here from the EFF, we just got a report from them last week. I've got an article from the 10th Amendment Center website as well that we've published on this from Mike Meharry. But victory against San Diego, they are suspending their facial recognition program. And this is how they started it out. We just stopped one of the largest, longest-running, and most controversial face recognition programs operated by local law enforcement in the United States. San Diego is basically Hong Kong warm-up USA. They're really, really pushing the facial recognition all over the place. There's all kinds of trial programs. If you heard me talk in maybe a couple of months ago, I even talked about how they were implementing surveillance systems in these new LED-style street lamps where they even have audio capabilities to be able to listen to people's conversations. I have one right out my bedroom window. So if you guys don't want me getting covered at all, we've got to figure out something to do about these light posts. Anyways, EFF goes on. They say a face recognition system was used by more than 30 agencies in San Diego County and will be suspended on January 1st, 2020. I don't like the fact that it's suspended. That means they plan on restarting, but this is at least gives us some wiggle room. It's a foot in the door to get it shut down permanently. It will be suspended as of January 1st, 2020, according to a new agenda published by the San Diego Association of Governments, that's SANDAG, which manages the program. And why is it stopping? Well, twofold. One, there was a law that we worked to help pass EFF was probably out in the front. A number of other organizations here in California, Oakland Privacy up in the Bay Area was very influential on this. ACLU, both Northern and Southern California, worked on this and worked to get it passed. Assembly Bill 1215. This would ban the use, or it does ban the use, of facial recognition or any other biometric surveillance tool in police body cams or police worn or carried cameras. So that's step one. This is a, well, it's really a moratorium. I'll get into some details on that in a moment. So it's a 3-year moratorium on law enforcement using that in California. We tried to get a permanent ban, but I think a lot of the other organizations were pushing this were really on, they had some bad foundations where they really weren't focusing on just the privacy and surveillance issues, the constitutional questions, and they focused on some other social issues, and therefore it worked down from a permanent ban down to a 3-year moratorium. But again, foot in the door. So basically all local governments, all state governments, they're banned from using these police body cam biometrics or facial recognition. Well, San Diego, it doesn't seem that they had really pushed to actually make this happen. We know that when you ban some government from doing something, a lot of times they'll ignore it as long as they can, especially if it's something positive or expands liberty. But EFF was very proactive, and they sent, I guess, a strongly worded letter to SANDAG demanding that it suspend the program to comply with the new law. AB 1215 creates a 3-year moratorium on the use of face recognition connected with cameras carried by police officers. These cameras include body-worn cameras and handheld devices. Launched in 2012, and this is just talking a little bit more about San Diego's program. They say launched in 2012, San Diego's program, the Tactical Identification System, TACIDS, provided 1,309 specialized face recognition tablets and phones to dozens of local, state, and federal agencies. Between 2016 and 2018, officers conducted more than 65,000 scans with the devices. And as of January 1st, 2020, the county government is no longer doing it. It's not just doing that, but they're also ending a contract. They're not going to renew a contract that expires in March of 2020 with a provider of this service. So first of all, they're shutting down access January 1st to all law enforcement being able to run these facial recognition scans and run these programs. And then they're ending the contract with the company that provides it. And from the letter, Pam Scanlon says, to ensure compliance with AB 1215, operation of the TACIDS program will be suspended beginning January 1st, 2020. And EFF notes here again, the agenda also indicates that SANDAG will not renew the contract with the face recognition vendor, Face First, which I had not even heard of till now, when it expires in March 2020. That's very positive news. And then also in Brookline, Massachusetts, they are now the second. We've mostly seen this happen here in California. I think there's a lot of people willing to work kind of across ideological lines. In most places around the country, at least in my experience, you're with us on everything or you're against us on everything. People don't set aside differences very often to work together on a very big issue. One issue, recognizing there's a lot of opposition on other issues. But here in California, at least on privacy, we see a lot of organizations who would normally be at odds with each other putting aside those odds to work together to get something positive done. And I think that's part of why we're seeing a lot of these types of bans happen in California. But in Massachusetts, we're starting to see this pick up as well. Brookline, Massachusetts has now become the second community to ban facial recognition by governments, period. And this is a report from Boston.com just last week, Thursday, I believe. Civil liberties advocates are applauding the town of Brookline for becoming the second municipality in Massachusetts to ban its government from using facial recognition technology. I don't think government can be trusted. I mean, the founders told us that government shouldn't be trusted. Patrick Henry, very famously in the Virginia Ratifying Convention, told us that any time a people trusted their rulers to be good people, to do the right thing, you would always have a subsequent loss of liberty. Subsequent loss of liberty. Anytime they did that, you would always have that. Patrick Henry, I'm going to be on board with Patrick Henry there. I think the last couple hundred years since he said that has really just proven him to be right over and over again. That doesn't mean that you never have good people in office. I don't think you really do very often because the nature of government power, because, I mean, we're talking about, at least on the federal level, the U.S. federal government is the largest government in the history of the world. biggest ever, and it is still growing, no matter who is in office. The type of people that are drawn to that type of organization are the type of people that like to use power to tell other people what to do. So I generally assume all politicians, all people running for office, are bad. And then if they do something good, I hope to see that happen. But I don't put a lot of hope into that. I would love to see that happen, I guess is a better way of putting it. Anyways, don't trust government, and don't trust government to use surveillance. I mean, especially warrantless surveillance. There's restrictions on this type of surveillance for a reason. So according to WGBH, this is again from the article, the warrant article was approved by an overwhelming, that's just a local term for when they are approving a new local law. Warrant article was approved by an overwhelming 179-8 margin during Brookline's town meeting Wednesday night. So this is about a week ago when this happened, last week Wednesday. 179-8. That's an interesting thing too. And I guess even though I've read a lot about the kind of pre-revolutionary time when Samuel Adams and others were really pushing the town meeting approach to think committees of correspondence, the notion of a 179-8 vote in a local measure is pretty awesome to me. The fact that there are so many people involved in making those decisions rather than a 5-4 vote, which happens in most large cities. Like here in Los Angeles, I honestly don't even know. I should be ashamed of myself, but I don't like paying attention to these people at all. But I don't know how many people are on the city council. I would guess it's somewhere between 7 and 12. And we're talking 3 to 4 million people in city proper. 12 people making the decision for so many people. Whereas in Brookline, Massachusetts, even if they make tons of bad decisions, at least it's more representative of the people there. In this situation, 179-8. They go on and they say in this report, the movement is rooted in concerns that without regulation, without federal regulation, the emerging technology could make mistakes, perpetuate racial bias, and even when properly used, infringe on individual privacy rights. I've got a lot of issues with that particular statement that I'm going to cover in just a few moments. But they're primarily, even in this article, and this gets back to what I was talking about, how here in California, AB 1215, the police camera facial recognition biometric ban went from a full permanent ban because they were doing things without warrant based on probable cause to just a 3-year moratorium because they're focusing on these other issues. They want federal regulation. I don't want centralized control. I don't trust Washington, D.C. I don't want the most powerful government in the history of the world, the one that conducts so many billions of illegal searches and seizures of people's data every single year. I mean, I don't want those people in charge of protecting my privacy. I don't trust my local government either. But at least if you're talking about devolving to a local or a state level, when the locals screw up, you've got a place to escape to. So they're saying that the movement is rooted in concern that there needs to be federal regulation, that there's the technology is going to make mistakes, that it's racist. I mean, certainly it makes a lot of mistakes, and we'll get to that a little bit later with this story about the hackers actually tricking these, both for boarding airplanes, getting on trains, a payment system, so you can trick these things already. They're also very racist. I've covered on this thing the fact that if you're a white male like myself, it's going to be correct all the time, or pretty darn close to it. But if you're a black male or a black female, it's going to misidentify you way more often. But that isn't the, I don't want everyone's rights to be equally violated. I want everyone's rights to be equally respected. So I'm not okay with mass warrantless surveillance, whether it's spying on your phone, tracking your location, monitoring your face, using a Stingray device, spoofing a cell phone tower. None of these things. I'm not okay with that as long as it just violates everyone's rights equally. So I think that's a problem in a lot of the approach. And maybe I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit there too. First of all, let me look at the California State Constitution. Section 13, Article 1, Declaration of Rights. It's very similar to the Fourth Amendment. And the reason I brought up the California one is because we're talking about a California law that passed and stopping San Diego warrantless surveillance. It says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures may not be violated, and a warrant may not issue except on probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons and things to be seized. It is impossible to follow the state constitution, which law enforcement officers all over the state take an oath to support and defend. They cannot follow that and conduct warrantless mass surveillance of everyone in a given area just for existing in that particular area. It is not possible. Same goes for Massachusetts. Here's Article 14 of their state constitution. I think it's Section 1. Every subject, that's interesting how they put that. Every subject has a right to be secure from all unreasonable searches and seizures of his person, his houses, his papers, and all his possessions. All warrants, therefore, are contrary to this right if the cause or foundation of them be not previously supported by oath or affirmation. Again, describing suspected places, suspected persons, and it has to have a special designation of the persons or objects of search, arrest, or seizure. I'm paraphrasing and kind of going through this because it's a long text. I will include the links to these in the show notes over at 10thAmendmentCenter.com/path-to-liberty. One of the reasons I mention that is because I really encourage people to actually look at their state constitution far more than they do at the federal constitution on issues like this, because a lot of people say, you're violating my Fourth Amendment right. And if you subscribe to our newsletter over at 10thAmendmentCenter.com/register, you'll likely have read, well, hopefully you're opening up the emails that we're sending, but you'll likely have read something that I sent out for Bill of Rights Day yesterday, which was the anniversary of ratification of, or the final state ratifying the Bill of Rights, December 15th, 1791. And I pointed out in that article that I sent out was that basically at the time of the founding, at the time of the debate over the Bill of Rights, no one talked about such things as my Second Amendment rights. No one thought of something as a Fourth Amendment right. We all have a natural right to privacy, a natural right to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms, to own property, to do all kinds of things. No one thought at the time of the debates over the ratification of the Bill of Rights. No one thought that if the Bill of Rights wasn't ratified, that people would lose their rights. It was just that they wanted to add additional restrictions on the government because they were concerned of these incredibly important things. And then, of course, they added things like the Ninth Amendment, saying that they didn't just list out everyone's rights. This shouldn't be seen as an exhaustive list. That's kind of a side note that I wasn't really planning on talking about here, but I thought it was important to mention. So I encourage people to look at their state constitutions as well, because when we're talking about local actions, many of them feed into the federal system. But it's also important to understand what's going on locally. And speaking of the Fourth Amendment, which is the right, this is in the Bill of Rights, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. And for those of you who understand the incorporation doctrine like I do, which is it is a judicial creation, but you may be saying, well, dude, you already talked about the state constitutions. Why are you even bringing up the federal constitution? Because you should focus primarily on the state level. But the fact of the matter is, not only do these mass warrantless local surveillance programs violate the state constitution, but because of the way that they interact with the data and share it with the federal government, they are also perpetuating federal violations of the Fourth Amendment. Because what happens, and here's from Mike Meharry's report on the San Diego situation, and he talks about this basically in every report that we have on local privacy actions. He says, in all likelihood, the federal government heavily involves itself in helping state and local agencies obtain this facial recognition technology. We know the feds provide grant money to local law enforcement agencies for a vast array of surveillance gear, ALPRs, license plate trackers, Stingray devices, these are cell site simulators, and drones. The feds literally fund this stuff for the locals. And if you're talking about cell site simulators, the FBI, the DOJ, generally require the local agencies, even if they're getting it from the Harris Corporation, for example, they require them to sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, saying that even if there is some really good defense attorney out there who's done some discovery and figured out that they're using one of these devices, they're supposed to lose the case rather than admit what they're doing. So, or just kick the can up to Washington, D.C., and the DOJ will take over. So they're very serious about keeping this type of stuff private. And Mike goes on in his report, the federal government essentially encourages and funds a giant nationwide surveillance net and then taps into the information via fusion centers and the information sharing environment. ISE is a product of the Patriot Act and its successors. So a lot of the times when they have this surveillance gear in the first place, the only reason they're getting it is because of unconstitutional grant programs providing them the tools. And then they use the tools locally to do their own local surveillance, but then they provide all the information to a network of the entire country. Every law enforcement agency in the country has access to something that's being done surveillance-wise in San Diego. I shouldn't say every, because I actually can't verify that every single law enforcement agency, but a vast majority, all the large ones, most of the medium to small ones, most of them have access. And the reason that happens is because of the federal information sharing environment, which facilitates all of this data sharing, and fusion center. So basically, if San Diego is doing facial recognition, monitoring everyone who's going into a church or a shopping mall or a gun store or whatever, buying masks to cover themselves from facial recognition, if they're using a facial recognition tool to monitor everyone who's doing this, they take that data and it gets dumped into the local fusion center. The fusion center, through information sharing environment, shares it with everybody, state and local law enforcement. I did an episode that I've referenced many times on automated license plate readers, where there was a study done by EFF and Muckrock that over a two-year period, they did 2.5 billion scans of license plates, tracking people where they're going, putting it in a database, and this is only of 200 law enforcement agents, but every participating law enforcement agency, if you're in Boise, Idaho, you would know what's going on in San Diego. You could track someone in Virginia, and on and on. So they share all the information with each other, and then it's all shared with DHS, Department of Justice, FBI, and all the federal agencies as well. And that's why it's important to understand kind of the relationship, not just of the state constitution, but also how they're participating in facilitating unconstitutional federal surveillance. Mike puts it this way. Fusion centers cooperate within the broader ISC, the information sharing environment. And in other words, ISE serves as a conduit for the sharing of information gathered without a warrant. That doesn't follow the Fourth Amendment at all. And then one other story that I want to share here. This is a little bit shorter episode than I've been doing lately, but this one that I mentioned right off the bat, hackers dupe facial recognition systems with creepy mask. And I'm not sure if this is the exact picture that they used or if this is a stock photo or something, but I think this is the original picture of what the hackers were using. If you're watching the video, it's a dude standing and holding you and I looking at this, we can tell that it's a fake, but it's pretty good. And I would think that holding up something like this to a facial recognition system or wearing it might trick it. And that's what we found out. And this is from futurism.com. They say researchers at the AI firm Canaron were able to easily fool facial recognition systems at a variety of high security locations, including banks, border crossing checkpoints, and airports, using a high quality mask. I mean, it looks pretty incredible what they've made here. And maybe that's not something that the average person can do, but I think as these types of systems grow, there will be more and more people developing counter tools. And it just creates this kind of battle between government and the people, people who want to find ways to avoid government surveilling their lives. They go on, they say, using the mask, the researchers fooled payment systems by Chinese tech giants Alibaba and WeChat. These are the biggest of the big boys. Maybe Alibaba isn't the biggest in the world, but WeChat is right up there. And these are huge payment companies with all kinds of technology and security behind them. They say some systems were even easier to fool than that. They managed to get through a self-boarding terminal at an airport, I can't pronounce the name, in the Netherlands by using a picture of a face on a phone screen. So someone who's really creative and really capable, and it may not even be someone who's really skilled in the future, but these things can be fooled, and you can actually trick the systems into thinking you're somebody else. Not that I want people to actually be surveilled equally, I just don't want the government doing this type of stuff without a warrant based on probable cause, particularly describing the person, place, or thing to be searched or seized. We also know from the article that originally came out in Fortune that they were able to board trains in China, so that the system actually does boarding and payment deduction right with facial recognition. You don't have to go to a fare or go through a turnstile like here at a train in Los Angeles or San Francisco or New York or something like that. It's all facial recognition. And of course, they use that facial recognition to stifle dissent, to know where everyone's going, who they're talking to, and on and on. But they were able to fool those as well. So you can rip people off through these facial recognition programs. You can trick the system into thinking that someone else is going to a place that maybe somebody bad wants them to do. And I'm not even just thinking of just the nefarious ways, but these things cannot be trusted. And that gets back to what I was talking about, and I covered it a bit. But basically, these concerns that was covered in Boston.com, the movement to oppose this on a local level, they're saying is because that the technology could make mistakes. And I talked about this, if you listen to the or watch the show regularly, I talked about this with the California bill AB 1215, which goes into effect very soon here, saying that the leading groups, ACLU primarily, EFF and others, focused so heavily on the fact that these facial recognition systems make mistakes primarily on people with more skin color. That was their primary opposition. And so what that did, I think it empowered, it gave political cover to the legislators who are getting so much pressure to stop this, but it gave them cover to be able to change their messaging. Instead of saying, well, we've got a lot of people in this state who don't want this stuff, we now get the message of, well, we're concerned that it's going to make mistakes, so let's give them a few years to figure out those mistakes. And unless they change that approach, I think California is going to come back with a vengeance, and they're going to make it very aggressively permanent that facial recognition is okay to use. If they don't change their message from, we just want it to be more correct, to, even if it's correct, it shouldn't be used because it's surveillance without a warrant based on probable cause. Anyways, looking over at the live chat, saying hello to a number of people out here. Bob Ferguson said, watch Minority Report, the movie with Tom Cruise. Minority Report was awesome. Ward Lawrence says, I like the federal constitution better than the Texas constitution, but I know you've been reading it, Ward. So at least you're aware of what's going on in many places like California here, the right to keep and bear arms. I don't even remember if I saw anything good there. Illinois is another place where the right to keep and bear arms is terrible. So why not work for a constitutional amendment on a state level to get that done instead of relying on the federal government, who's horrible on the right to keep and bear arms? So Alan Mosley says, wait, isn't this guy Tom Cruise? You guys got to check out the Gold Standard podcast. We've got a 100th episode live broadcast that Alan is doing. Alan, if you can on Facebook, post a link to that event. That would be cool so people can learn about it. We're going to be doing a little commercial for that event as well. Jared Pierce says, government is not supposed to work like that. This is what they do when they invade another country. They take over everything, privatize private service, run everything into the ground while getting rich. Well, certainly they are running everything into the ground, at least our liberty. And they are attacking it constantly. Someone, Austrian Watchman, someone gave you a donation. Well, thank you very much. I really, really appreciate that. If you want to donate, I know a lot of people will use Super Chat on YouTube. We're very grateful for that. Otherwise, you can go to 10thamendmentcenter.com/donate, whether it's a couple of bucks, a couple of thousand, or anywhere in between. It really helps us get the job done. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for that. Also, looking over here in the chat, Essential Frisian Freedom says, put some shape charges on the water pipes to the facility. You're going to get me in trouble with that kind of stuff. We are not advising that kind of thing. I want to keep this channel. Teacher of Liberty Joe Wolverton says, police equal a standing army. The way they function for the federal government, they certainly are. They're armed up by the federal government. They conduct surveillance for the federal government. They enforce gun control for the federal government. They do all kinds of things. They're basically a federalized national police force. And he also mentions James Otis, who might be the founding father of the Fourth Amendment. Bob Brewer asks, do face recognition cams violate pursuit of happiness? In what way? I don't know. What I look at when I look at the Constitution, I don't see that the Constitution is saying, you know, it's okay if they don't violate the pursuit of happiness. It says that they can't do this surveillance without a warrant based on probable cause. So that's really the question that needs to be asked. Are they conducting the surveillance without a warrant? And if they are, then it's unconstitutional. And it could be unconstitutional on a federal level. It could be unconstitutional on a state level. Jared Pierce says, I can't see the comments you're reading. And I know you were kidding, Essential Freedom. But YouTube is no joke. All these platforms, they are no joke. They really want to find any excuse to get good pro-liberty, anti-government power people out of here. So we got to be careful sometimes of these things like that, just to be honest. And I see Alan Mosley over on Facebook posted the link to that event. That's awesome. Jared Pierce asks, I can't see the comments you're reading. We broadcast through a bunch of channels simultaneously, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, DLive, and somebody, Facebook. And I have a tool called Restream, which allows us to do this, and it actually puts out the right data rate and all that stuff. And it also has a tool where I can look at all of the chat comments and all the different platforms in one tool. I guess there are ways I've seen other people who live stream put the live chat up on the video, but I don't necessarily... I like putting the articles up there, like, so you can see if you're watching. And then if you guys have my pretty face on the main screen, I don't want to cover it up with a bunch of comments, but maybe I should. If you guys like that idea, let me know in the comments. If you want to see the stream of comments that I see from all the different platforms at the same time, if a lot of people are really interested in doing it, maybe I'll try that out for a while and see how it goes. But hopefully that answers the question for you, Jared. Anyways, I hope you guys had a great weekend. I'm very grateful for you spending some time with me today. I hope you learned something. We've got something positive that happened, and hopefully you learned that this is something that you can do in your own area. Even though a lot of people will ask me, like, dude, why do you want to push for a law on something? Government never follows it anyways. They never follow the Constitution in the first place. Why would you do this? This is an example of how sometimes passing a new law, directing them to stop doing stuff that they've been doing for a long time, actually has a positive effect. At least gets us a foot in the door, and it allows us an opportunity to work further. Just waving the Fourth Amendment or the California state constitution or whatever state constitution in someone's face isn't going to get the job done. And I think it's because a lot of these government agents believe that it is their job to basically implement everything passed by every legislature all the time, whether it's state, local, federal. It is their job to always implement unless a court tells them otherwise. They believe in judicial supremacy, rule by the judiciary in all situations. And so therefore, they're like, well, we've been doing this and no court told us to stop. And so they'll continue doing the surveillance that they've been doing until there's a new directive to no longer do it. And we see this playing out right now here in California. So I think that's a positive step forward. And it could be a blueprint of something that you can do in your own state or local community. Anyways, again, I'm very grateful for you spending some time with me. I hope you learned something. If you support the show, you can go to 10thamendmentcenter.com/members. Sign up for as little as $2 a month. We make those membership dollars go a long, long way. I hope you have a great day. We'll see you next time here on the Path to Liberty.